My dear friends, what a joy it is to be here once again. And this is the month of Ramadan. So as a Muslim, I usually tell everybody I meet, Ramadan Kareem, which means may the blessings of Ramadan be bestowed upon you. I was thinking that today, in this month-long time of fasting, Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset. No food, no water. And they dedicate the entire time to praising God, thanking God, getting to know themselves. A lot of devotional practices. And in my lifetime, during the month of Ramadan, my parents, my teachers always told me a lot of teaching stories. I'd like to share some of them with you, and some of them you have already heard, but let's go deeper with that. So the first one I remember from my childhood is about the story of the mullah, who is a ferry captain, and he's very delighted because he has on board very important people, lawyers, business people, professors, very modern people. And they tease the mullah, because the mullah is very religious. He's very God-centered. And, you know, they're very modern people. They don't believe in superstition. And they egg on the mullah. And mullah talks about the need to polish one's heart so one is in a fitting state to come in the presence of the beloved, the need for prayers, the need for fasting. And they kind of snicker and smile. They egg him on. And suddenly, there's a huge, fierce, howling storm. And it looks like all is lost. The boat will capsize. And suddenly all these people of reason, they get on their knees and they're begging God, oh God, please help us, save us. And they start making bargains with God. If you do this, I'll give you this. Please save our lives. And here's the mullah walking very calmly among them and saying, come on, for God's sake, drive a harder bargain. You see, he turns to the lawyers and says, you're lawyers, drive a harder bargain. He turns to business people and says, come on, what about the bottom line? He turns to those academicians and says, come on, before you make these promises, do some more research. And then suddenly the mullah looks up and he says, ahoy, I see land. And immediately they get off the knees and they go back to their old ways. Just be with that story. What splashes in your heart when you hear that story? So why do Muslims practice Ramadan? And what is it? Why do they fast? Ramadan simply means the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. It was in that month when Prophet Muhammad, and you might not know this, he was very meditative. He would spend sometimes 40 days at night in the mountains in Mecca. And one particular night he experienced an extraordinary epiphany called the Night of Power. When this light approached him and said, I am Angel Gabriel. And he was shivering and just mortified with fear. Long story, but eventually he felt this incredible squeezing from within him, and from the depths of his being poured out these words of exquisite beauty, which was seared into his soul. He ran down the mountain, told his wife and relatives, and they wrote them on the back of bark of trees, stones, parchments. This happened for 23 years. And the collection of that is the Quran. So, to thank God for the first delivery of the first verses that came from the mystery, Muslims will practice gratitude by fasting to purify themselves. So, one very good lesson which I've talked about many times here is the practice of gratitude. Jamal, are you grateful in your life? All the time. And in every tradition, that's a most powerful practice, to be grateful in good times, as also in times of affliction. So let me repeat one more time a story you know. The mullah, if you remember, has lost his donkey. That's a big deal in our part of the world. And so the entire village tries to find the donkey. They cannot find the donkey. They come back in the evening to give mullah the bad news. And where is the mullah? He's in the town square on his knees and saying, Allah, I am so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful. Bismillah. Maybe you haven't heard the bad news. Your donkey is lost forever. He says, I know, but I'm so grateful because imagine what could have happened to me if I was on the donkey. When we give thanks to God in times of difficulty, we're giving thanks for unknown blessings already on their way. So once again, I know that you know this, I know this, but do I really know this? Can I be with that? Another insight, the Quran was revealed in the stillness of the night. The Quran has its roots literally in the womb of that cave in Mecca, in the womb of silence. Can I really appreciate the majesty, the mystery of silence? Do I understand silence? Which is not the absence of sound, it's the absence of the little self. Be silent, that the Lord who gave you language may speak. For as He fashioned a door and a lock, He also made a key. Rumi. All the Sufi great masters say, all the theologies of the world are as nothing compared to one whisper of the Beloved. So Rumi actually was approached by an angry person and said, Rumi, they call him Maulana, it's a huge title, Maulana Rumi. You say so much about silence, about the beauty of silence. How is it that you have talked and talked and talked and talked and talked? And Rumi laughed and said, the truth is, the most radiant, divine being in me has not said one word. So silence is one of the beautiful ways to get in connection with that great mystery. In the Quran, Allah says, we are closer to you than your jugular vein. It is in silence that maybe, just maybe, I'll connect with that. I'll become aware of that gracious, invisible hand that moves around our bird cages. I love the story which I was told many years ago of this most beloved saint in Islam, Rabia. She was passing by and she heard this great Sufi master teaching his students about how important it is to keep knocking on the door of God. Keep knocking, keep knocking. Don't give up on your persistence. Keep knocking, keep knocking. One day, for the great Sufi master, that door will open. Rabia said, sir, when was the door ever closed? And the teacher bowed to her. Be with that story. So, Ramadan is a time, in plain English, a time to open up one's heart. What are some ways, in all the traditions, the best way, the traditions say, and something we have said here many, many times, I will not elaborate on that, is primarily through the cultivation of compassion, mercy, gentleness, for myself and for others. I love best that quote from Tao Te Ching, where Lao Tzu says, compassionate towards yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. Compassionate towards yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. Compassion towards others. I love that saying by the Sufi mystic Kabir who says, do what is right. Talking about dealing with someone who's difficult, do what is right. Don't allow yourself to be abused. Protect yourself. But I beg you, please, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you, please, do not keep that person's being, essence, out of your heart. My behavior, Jamal's behavior, might be evil. But my essence is filled with Christ nature, Buddha nature, Allah nature, Elohim nature, Krishna nature. Just keeping this discernment, distinction in mind. If I keep it in mind, it'll influence my speech and my actions. And this, the sages say, has the power to shift heaven and earth. Ask yourself, do I make this discernment between behavior and being? During Ramadan, there's a lot of prayers, extra prayers. Muslims say, one prostration of prayer to God liberates you from 1,000 prostrations to your ego. When we praise God, God doesn't become holy, we become holy. You know how Muslims pray? Muslims pray 5 times a day. They also do ablutions. They cleanse themselves because you have to be clean in every possible way before you come in the presence of majesty. There is this, they say, a true story of this student who loved his sheikh or teacher so much. And because Muslims pray 5 times a day, one of the times is before dawn, sometimes at five in the morning in our part of the world. And so this student, he would meticulously get up an hour ahead. And because it was in winter time, he would warm with wood, put the fire, and warm the water for his teacher. One morning, one fateful morning, he got up late. 5 minutes to prayer. He took that bowl of cold water and put it to his heart and said, oh, my heart, I'm so sorry I was not able to get up. I'm so sorry I was not able to warm this water. And he gave the water to his teacher. And then he heard this shout from the teacher's mouth saying, oh, my God, this is... scalding my hand, is so warm. It's so hot. The power of the heart. How else can you open up your heart? In every tradition they say, and I summarize it in the Buddhist way, when the Buddhists say, can you embrace and fold not only your 10,000 joys of life, but also your 10,000 sorrows of life. Quran says all feelings are sacred. In all mystical traditions, any difficult feelings, anger, jealousy, bitterness, hate, if you bring it into your heart, as Rumi says, if you tremble with it, the moment you bring it inside you, with compassion, it alchemizes. It changes. That's why in Sufism we have many, many techniques and programs called sacred holding, where you really embrace your pain, your sorrow, your sadness, bring it into your heart and tremble with it. It transforms. Rumi, writing about this, you know, he never wrote, he uttered, he says, have you not noticed that fruits never grow on the trunk of trees. They always grow on the branches. Why? Because they need to quiver and tremble in the breeze to receive the blush of the beloved. It's okay for me and you. In fact, not only is it okay, it is critical for you and me to embrace my pain, my sadness, my anger, my jealousy, my bitterness. It alchemizes. Remember the wonderful saying also by the Sufi mystics in every tradition, don't run towards pain and suffering, just don't run away from it. Ramadan is a time also, and I'm coming closer to my finishing and watching the time. To really understand the meaning of faith and surrender. Jamal, can you have faith in something higher than personality? It's great, it's wonderful. You depend on yourself. You don't trust others. But Jamal, you will need in your life to trust something higher than yourself. Otherwise, Jamal, you shall lose all hope. The story of the mullah in India, traveling by train, and he sees the ticket conductor coming, and what does he do? He's searching for his ticket in other people's pockets, in their suitcases. They say, "What is this, sir? Why don't you look for your ticket in your own pocket?" He says, "Well, I could do that, but you see, if I don't find my ticket in my pocket, I shall lose all hope." Be with that story. The power of hope, the need for hope, and really creating that by having faith and trust in something higher than human personality. Here's a very famous story. The mullah, and this allegorical, has to go to a certain destination. He's able to cross mountains, go through dark, dangerous forests, but now comes to a huge expanse of water. How will he cross it? Ah, I said allegorical. Story of my life and your life. Difficulty. He casts his creative eyes around. What does he find? He finds some poles, he finds some vines. He makes a tiny raft. He gets on it. He's able to cross this body of water. But having gone over to the other side, what does he do? He lifts the raft, puts it on his shoulder or head, and starts walking with it. And that is the end of the story. But the remark is, that's beautiful. But how heavy the burden has become. Be with that. Be with that. I have used certain techniques, certain ways to overcome the dysfunctions in my life. But I cannot let go of it. Why? Because I don't have trust, faith, like this person, that what may be if another difficulty comes but there are no vines and poles. I need that faith. So my friends, lastly, in Ramadan, my parents would say, take life seriously, but laugh a lot. Laugh a lot, because laughter is really one of the best ways to connect with mystery. And truly, if we moved, as Prophet Muhammad said, moved from a knowledge of the tongue to a knowledge of the heart, we would burst out laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. That Hindu great saint Ramana Maharshi, 20th century saint, died in 1950. He said, you know, on the day of liberation, when you go over to the other side, and you look back at your life, at all, Jamal, all your dramas and melodramas, you will laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. He says, why not laugh right now? Prophet Muhammad said, and this is paraphrased, he said, you know, here we are so scared of death. We shall go into non-existence. He said, if you really knew the truth, non-existence is trembling in fear it might be given human shape. So my friends, let me summarize the laughter part with this story you have heard before, the mullah, story of my life and your life. Every word is allegorical here. The mullah is in the tavern of life, drinking, getting drunk. It's 4 in the morning. He steps out in the streets aimlessly. And a policeman accosts him and says, "Sir, who are you? Where did you come from? What are you doing? Where are you going?" And Mullah says, "Sir, if I knew the answer to all those questions, I'd be home already." So in Ramadan, it always ends when the new moon comes out. And that's a great time of excitement. In fact, scientifically, we know when it's full moon. But in the Islamic tradition, the fast is not ended until children and adults have climbed roofs and trees in those days and actually physically seen the full moon. That's why the end of Ramadan varies in different parts of the world. Has the moon been sighted? So here's a verse from Rumi. "Oh please, Jamal, close the window of your speech and open the window of your heart, because the moon will kiss you only through the window." I should end my speech and say just one more sentence. Prophet Muhammad was very fond of saying, he would say, "The character of a wali," wali means friend of God, "is based on nothing more than graciousness and generosity." The ultimate goal of Ramadan is, Jamal, can you cultivate graciousness and generosity? Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you.